Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. Black Buffalo products are intended for adults age 21 and older who are consumers of nicotine or tobacco. If you are an adult age 21 and older and use nicotine or tobacco, I want to tell you about Black Buffalo's award-winning nicotine pouches. What are they made of? Cured edible green leaves, food-grade ingredients, and pharmaceutical-grade nicotine. No tobacco leaf or stem. So if you're 21 and older, consume nicotine or tobacco, and want to join the Black Buffalo herd, head over to blackbuffalo.com to learn more. You can order nicotine pouches online, and they ship directly to most states. Or check out their store locator to purchase pouches at thousands of retail locations around the country. Black Buffalo Tobacco Alternative. Bold flavor, full pouches.
I'm so excited to tell you JCPenney and country music singer-songwriter Walker Hayes are partnering together on a new limited-time men's collection for the everyday guy. What I love about Walker Hayes is his laid-back nature. He's a family man and being a country megastar while also having seven kids. You know he likes to keep his style cool and casual. This new collection is perfect for the guy living the t-shirt life or someone wanting some fresh options that feel just as good. It's easy to wear, affordable styles that celebrate the ultimate family man, along with the quality, durability, and sensibility dads appreciate. Available online Saturday, May 4th at jcp.com and in-store Thursday, May 16th. Just in time for Father's Day. Limited time only. JCPenney, make it count.
Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org.
The Volume.
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
What up, y'all? T-Bob here from Snaps, your new favorite college football show on FanDuel. And it might be getting cold, but the sports calendar is heating up. That's why it's the best time of the year. There's so much different place to bet on, whether you want to bet on the World Cup, you want to bet on the NBA, the NFL, college football, and there's no better place to get in on the action than FanDuel. The app is safe, secure, easy to use. They have great exclusive offers, boosts. You get paid fast when you win, and they have all the different ways you can play moneyline, over-unders, totals, props, futures. And with live betting, you can jump in even if you get to your phone late. And who doesn't love a good same-game parlay? Plus, FanDuel now live in Maryland. And never forget, that's what Maryland does. Crab cakes, football, and FanDuel. So use promo code SNAPS and download the FanDuel app today to make every moment more.
Yo, what's happening, y'all? Welcome back in to a brand new episode of Snaps. If you are returning to the show, then, well, you are hearing me. Brum, I think your mic might be on. Or is that your house, Aaron? What's going on?
That's Brum. That's Brum.
Brum's having a party.
Brum, this is my moment. I just approved having children, and you just step all over me with ambient noise? Here I am pushing through. We got the matching merch on stream.
Hey, nice sweatshirt, by the way. Nice sweatshirt. Yeah, great looking sweatshirt.
Nice sweatshirt to you as well, dude. I agree. Dude. You should buy it by clicking on our merch links and using the code SNAPS20. I'm very happy to be back, though. I was very sorry. This is Snaps College Football Podcast here on the Volume Sports Network. I'm one of your hosts, T-Bob Hebert, joined as always by the other brand new father of the show, his second time around, my third now, Aaron Murray. Aaron, what's up, man? How we feeling, dude?
Man, I'm just happy that mama's doing good, baby's doing good, and I get to see your beautiful face. I've missed you these past couple shows, but duty literally calls. You don't look as tired as you should, though. Are you sleeping well?
So first off, yes, the main things like
watch
you said,
out,
baby's
Aaron, you're
good.
Is T-Bob a bad dad on as a whole? Is T-Bob sleeping too well?
I'm entirely too confident in my dadding skills. Like, I don't care what chat would have to say. They could not convince me that I'm a bad dad. But no, look, man, mom is happy, baby's healthy. First two things. That's what I was so in my head about last week. I was so stressed out last time I was on the show. I was sick. I was at like an all-time mental low point probably for like the last couple of years. And then the second we had the baby and the mom and the baby were healthy, then everything's just been bliss since then. It made watching LSU get absolutely demolished by UGA go down so much smoother.
Dude, I'm not going to say it, but T-Bob was, you know, a little aggressive in our group chat on Saturday.
I caused some.
I'm not going to say what he said. I'm not going to say what he
said. Yeah, I did.
Karma's a bitch.
So I just had my first son, and I've had daughters, and my friends have had sons, and I've caught a lot of jokes where my friends have basically said, you know, my son's going to bang your daughter one day, and I may or may not, allegedly, have thrown something like that out there, and then I think literally the next play, LSU, like, threw a big pick or, like, something fucked up happened.
I think it was the kick. I think it was the block kick return for a touchdown.
Oh, my God. Literally dude.
After T-Bob said that comment, we're all talking. We're in the group chat talking smack back and forth during the game. As soon as he said that, Miles is a saint. Miles is daddy's girl, and Miles will be going
I was feeling fat school. And cocky. LSU had tied it up and everything, dude. It was going good until it wasn't. So, it's just been a really, really, really fun few days. So like I said, it made that go down a bit easier. It made whatever that just hellscape of that litany of errors, that lemony snicket series of unfortunate events that was last night's Saints game, not really matter. And then through it all, not only has Snaps and everything been here for me, but at least the Pelicans have been kicking ass. But no, it's been awesome, man. It's been really cool. It's been hanging out with a new baby.
What about your Saints? Your Saints last night, too. Cool. It's been a rough weekend for you and your team.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. But it hasn't really been a rough weekend for me. That's the best part.
I know.
Like, it's been great. LSU gets their ass kicked. The Saints lose in like the worst possible way. I'm just over here chilling. I'm just like kind of watching. Now, I will say this. The show's going to be a bit interesting in that normally I like to prep. I am not prepped at all for this show. In fact, I haven't really paid too much attention as to what's been going on in the world of sports, or even college football for that matter. So I'm interested to see how this game goes. Yeah, I mean, Kirby's visor brings it up. I feel like I have to talk about this. He says Jalen Carter treated Jaden Daniels like his baby son. I have never. So a lot of stuff gets lost in translation. And I think on Twitter, I tweeted like, that's the most disrespectful shit I've ever seen. And a lot of people were like, yeah, like he should get in trouble or something, or that's a penalty.
What? No,
I meant like, that's the coldest, coolest shit ever. Is you don't even slam the quarterback. You don't even wait to celebrate till after the sack. It's a mid-sack celebration. Show me the other mid-sack celebration that you have ever seen in all of the football that we watch.
Yeah, it's going to be – I think T-Bob just froze there for a second. I think the best part of the entire celebration, entire sack of Jalen Carter on Jaden Daniels was the fact that Jaden was even laughing during it. You kind of see through the helmet him smiling and giggling like, did this man – this beast of a human being, maybe the best. I know Will Anderson was crowned best defensive player in the country. Jalen, if he wasn't banged up all season, may have had something to say about that. Is this gigantic human being lifting me in the air like I'm some 5-year, like literally what I'd do to my 2-year-old son when he's acting up. Put him on my shoulder, say, we're going up to your room, we're going. He's smacking, banging me on the back. No, daddy, no, daddy, no. That is literally what occurred, but with two men in their 20s, two grown men. So, Jalen's a beast. You're back.
Hello, there he is.
I don't know. I don't know what happened. Internet work at work just cut out here. But that's just tight. Presenting the trophy with a human trophy, or presenting the crowd with a human trophy as yourself.
I was saying though, Jaden was laughing though. You could see Jalen smiling like, thank you. But I think it was more like a smile of, this could have gone a lot worse. He could have broken me in half, and instead he's just carrying me around like my my 2-year-old son.
If anybody has ever been carried around, it is very hard not to smile. Like, I almost don't care the setting you're in. If someone is just carrying you like you're a child, it is really hard not to smile, especially when you're as tall as Jaden is and you're just not used to it.
T-Bob, like, can I ask you a personal question?
Yeah, absolutely.
you're a bigger guy, and you've been a bigger guy for your entire life.
Yeah.
When's the last time someone has carried you?
Well, that's kind of exactly my point, right? I'm trying to think. There's maybe been like a few backs that I've hit on. Maybe like one of my other friends who's, because I was still like one of the smaller O linemen, which is a bit interesting, right? So, you know, I'm thinking that there's like there. Okay, there's a guy not long ago, Will Arnold. This cat is a massive upright. This cat used to bench press 600 pounds back in the day. Just massive individual. We were doing a bunch of pool wrestling, and he's basically like a great white shark when it comes to pool wrestling. He's just too big and too strong. He's unbeatable. But the way in which, as he was like bruising me up pretty bad, the way in which he was just kind of tossing me like a little child, this would have been a few months ago. That was the last time. And sure enough, granted, I was drunk, but I was giggling. I was giggling the entire time as he was throwing me off of him, throwing me into walls. Just like, I mean, it was unreal. So yeah, don't, you know, excuse Jaden if maybe he just got a little mirth out of it. I will say this. I think if you're an O-lineman, you kind of have to fight out of principle, because he dropped his nuts on you so hard to start celebrating like that. So it's like you almost like you don't even have to. Like, you'd be not even mad, and you have to walk up and just punch Jalen Carter. But, you know, if you punch Jalen Carter, then you have to deal with the consequences.
You're in trouble. Yeah. Listen, I'm just – Jaden's happy he plays in 2022 and not back in 2012 or before that, when that would have been a little – literally a pickup slam, sternum broken, a la me versus Auburn my freshman year, when that exact thing happened. But I got body slammed to the ground, and my chase literally caved in. I could have actually died on the play, they said. Unfortunately for me. If my sternum cracked, they like, if the sternum cracked in a spot where it would have hit your heart.
What? What? Yeah. I body slammed to death. Okay. Obviously, it's not funny. Okay, and I'm very glad that didn't happen. That didn't happen. But the absurdity of literally like choke slamming someone to death is kind of insane. That's damn, dude. We're all glad you're not dead, Aaron. Andy J says he's listening to Snaps in the delivery room right now with the wife. Hashtag dedication. I mean, we must be the most fertile podcasting team and or listening group, because Bilbo just had a baby. Andy looks like he's having a baby. We just had babies. There's a lot of it going around right now. So we got some things to get to on the show today. The Deion press conference, I haven't watched it, but we could talk about the press conference and, you know, what do you think about it? Is he going to work? And did Auburn, like you were talking about yesterday, Aaron, did Auburn screw it up by not hiring Deion? We can get it a Heisman candidate. Says Stoquavius really deserved to be there. Maybe a little Jackson Smith and Jigba. But before we get there, boys, and I'd welcome chat to answer this as well. And Brahm, I'm interested to see if you have an answer. But okay, so the portal window opens up, right? From somebody who's checked out of the news cycle now for like 48 hours, it feels overwhelming. Do y'all have any websites or anything
on three
that y'all have been going to? That's what I'm saying. Like, do you have any that you love that you feel like is doing a really great job?
Yeah, we actually had someone on yesterday from On Three. So make sure if you missed that, we had a great discussion about the transfer portal, what's going on, what to look forward to, how to keep up with the entire thing. So no, like literally, usually like when you and I are talking, doing the show, when I'm doing shows throughout the day, there's a couple main websites I have that are PG that are on my browser. ESPN, College Football Stats, and then NFL. I got the sports book, FanDuel up. And then now I, all of a sudden, because of this whole transfer portal thing, I do have On Three transfer portal up. And it's really easy to use. You got the quarterbacks, running backs, receivers. They show you where they are from.
It's very similar to like if you've gone through like one of those websites with recruiting rankings, like they have player rankings, team rankings.
It looks like that.
Oh, okay. Okay.
And the best thing is like they obviously have where they're from and like where they are. Where they're, you know,
it feels like if you played like NCAA football or like Madden and it's the off season and you're trying to buy a free agent, this is what it looks like. Because on here they do have dollar amounts of like, what is this kid's NIL value? So like it is literally like NFL free agent. If you want this player, if you want Jason Brown, redshirt senior, 6'2", 205 quarterback from Virginia Tech, his NIL value is $62,000. Like, this is it, you know, literally looks like NFL free agency, right? What it's going to cost you.
I mean, it's so funny on multiple levels. So I just opened up the site that Brum linked the chat, and it's like, it does look great. And, you know, I've spent all year shitting on Devin Leary, but now I'm like, ooh, Devin Leary, dude. I mean, Devin Leary, dude, look at that Leary stats, dude. I mean, he's done a lot of touchdowns.
DJU.
DJU, dude. No, I'm still not that.
He's going to cost you, though. See, probably DJU is, he's going to cost you $400,000. So, I mean,
so it sounds like you're playing the juice. This is fascinating because it sounds like you're playing NCAA dynasty mode. And I do think that this is, I take them at face value that they say that one of the reasons why they delayed is they really want to knock dynasty mode out the park. And yeah, when you look at adding transfer portal, NIL deals, like the amount of simulation fun that is to be had. If you're someone who gets off on dynasty mode, you now have multiple areas that you get to recruit, multiple resources that you get to manage.
I'm really interesting now, especially with the quarterback position, of like these schools who have to make really hard decisions about development versus bringing somebody in. Because talk about a position where the grass will always seem greener for, you know, what, 80% of places?
Yes.
Well, and it's a place where it is the position that you can kind of get most buried on the depth chart with because you're unlucky, right? Like, if you're a right guard and you just have some All-American right guard in front of you, that's fine. You can play left guard and you can still start, right? Like, same thing at receiver, same thing as a lot of other spots. Like, if you're Matt Cassel, you could be a decade-long NFL player, but you're not gonna play in college because you're buried on the depth chart of other guys who are just a little better than you. So, like, I understand why the portal is so appealing to quarterbacks.
Yeah, I get the backup quarterback, but there's a lot of guys in the portal now at the quarterback position that are starters that were literally starting at their universities, and just like Spencer Sanders at Oklahoma State. Yeah, well, DJU is a different beast because DJU knew, like, okay, like, one, these fans hate me. I got to get the hell out of here. The guy that came in there did better than me. He's going to be the starter.
That's fair.
But Spencer Sanders at Oklahoma State has been a starter forever. I didn't even realize he had another damn year. I mean, that's the funny thing. Like, I had lunch with my former high school, or breakfast with my former high school coach today that's now coaching at Toledo. And I was asking, like, how are the quarterbacks doing? How's your quarterback doing this year? And I was like, how many years does he have left? He goes, oh, he's been here for 4 years, but he still has 2 years remaining. I'm like, these guys just, it's like a cat with nine lives. They just somehow keep emerging every year. I get another year. I'm like, what the hell? So he's a guy that's more head scratching to me. Like, you're a starter. You're going to be the starter next year, yet you're going to go hit the portal to, I'm guessing, to get more money. I'm sure. I think that's the thing at the end of the day. Like, can I find a way to go make a couple extra bucks? I don't blame him. And what I'm interesting too is, like, if Oklahoma State's like, oh no, we need you back. And all of a sudden in 2 weeks, he's recommitted to Oklahoma State because some booster decided to give him $500,000. I don't know. The whole thing's intriguing. I do like the whole money aspect of it, though. It makes it a little bit more engaging and adds some firepower.
You got to kind of coddle these players now, man. I mean, you really do. You used to be able to rule with an iron fist. Like, it was truly in college football, the amount of my way or the highway. Like, it was your little fiefdom. Now, all of a sudden, like, these players are getting rights. What the hell, man? Yeah. You're telling me I actually have to, like, be worried about keeping morale up, make sure everybody's happy? Okay, hold on, though. Hold the fuck on. Because Kirby's Visor and Ramdog are in the chat talking about, oh, they're showing up for me here to eat some crow. What, are you impressed that you won, Georgia? what are you talking about? Like, hello, I would hope you would win. If you couldn't, year three or four, or six or seven, whatever year it is under Kirby Smart, like, if you couldn't beat year one Brian Kelly when LSU has transfers all over the place, freshmen all over the place, two freshmen starting off the tackles, if you don't win that game, you're a fraud. You're a sham. So congratulations on doing exactly what you should have done, okay? All you did was avoid disaster. And there is something to be said for that. But to come in here beating your chest on it, like, if you go and you kick a little, if you physically dominate a five-year-old, do you brag about it? No, it's what you should do, dude, okay? Now, just wait. We go see a couple years of a little Brian Kelly percolation, and just know you're going to remember how this ass tastes, okay?
because it's coming. You done tasted it before. You thought maybe you got done with it with an 05 when you beat LSU, and then you had to get your ass whipped a few more times so you finally managed to punch back. So don't worry. Payback is coming. But yes, congratulations on doing exactly what you should have done. We're all very impressed that you beat an LSU team that lost to Texas A&M. Get the fuck out of here, dude. Don't really. Thanks
you
for
tell
hanging
him,
out
here, you Chad. Tell him. Hoo. You know what's pissing me off? Talk about like beating a child.
Whoa!
That did not come off right. Let me rephrase this.
I mean, no,
way
it was what we were what talking about. To be clear,
it
dude.
Was what
it
we're
was
talking
what
about.
We were okay. talking about.
it is cracking me up though that there are all these LSU fans and fans across the SEC. Making the big excuse of like, well, Stetson's 25 years old and he's playing against 18-year-old kids. Like,
I love
I'm
that
like,
joke.
Okay, this isn't like some 6'5", 6'6", Ben Roethlisberger-sized human being out there.
Well, actually, Stetson has an unfair advantage. You know, yeah, that's like, incredible.
Yeah, so someone, but this brings us to a point, like last night I'm watching the game, the my Tampa Bay Buccaneers taking down your Saints. And oh God, after the game, someone in Georgia tweeted, which I found very funny, that this isn't fair because Tom Brady's 45 years old playing against a bunch of 20-year-old kids. And I was
yeah,
just like, that
exactly.
Just,
I agree with the logic.
Perfect.
I agree with the logic. No, Tom Brady was playing at Michigan when these kids were in diapers. Like okay,
no,
Stetson Bennett
no,
is the
he was playing in Michigan. Some of these kids weren't conceived.
Yes, yeah, that's true.
No, the kid next week for the 49ers wasn't born when Tom Brady started playing in the NFL. Was it Brock Purdy?
Wow, Purdy. Yeah, Brock Purdy. Wow, yeah. Dude. Okay. Well, how about, I mean, like, yeah, but the meme is right. I mean, Stetson Bennett is an eighth grader playing with fourth graders. Like, congratulations. Oh, I guess God. We should be impressed, dude. I don't know what to tell you. Like, I'm pretty sure if I was in eighth grade, I could whoop a bunch of fourth grade ass too. I don't know. Maybe that's just me. I don't see what the problem is.
I will say this. Like, I do wish I was like 24, 25 playing college football. It would have been.
Yes,
it does
dude.
Help a lot. I will say it does. That mental maturity is humongous.
It's
know,
like when
you're
you
not
got,
out there trying to get drunk and party and know what you need to do to get ready for a game.
Well, yes, exactly. Well, it's even like, I mean, yeah. Aaron, when you went back to like watch your high school play after like a few months in college, you were like, oh my God, if I could go play even on this level again right now, like I would dominate.
No, you can't compare that because the difference is at that point, I had been playing collegiate football. So like, yes, like I've been playing at a higher level. So going down a level would have made it easier.
Sorry, yes. I have moved beyond the Stetson conversation. I just remember going back to high school and being like, holy fuck, dude, is this what was so hard to me like a year ago
or
whatever? Like it's insane how you could change. Yeah. Congratulations, Kirby Ram Dog. You done got me a little fired up. Here on this Tuesday, December 6th, 2022. Should Auburn fans be fired up that they got Hugh Freeze, or should they be fired up because they didn't get Deion?
I'll give you a recap of what I said yesterday, T-Bob. I'll kind of condense it a little bit and then let you kind of run with it. So yeah. Deion, you know, went on his rant in front of his team, and I thought it was a hell of a speech. Like anytime Deion talks, it goes viral. And what do kids do? They're on their phone 24/7. Every recruit's looking at YouTube and social and Instagram and TikTok. Like he is relevant to this group of young men getting ready to play collegiate football. I don't think Hugh Freeze necessarily moves the needle when it comes to that. And then I brought up the fact that too, like if you're a donor, would you rather go have lunch with Hugh Freeze or would you rather go have lunch with Deion? And there's some more money to be had there too. So like all that being said, Deion moves the needle. Deion makes it happen. He brings in the money. He brings in the 4 and 5 stars. And I absolutely loved it. So that is why I'm like, if I'm an Auburn fan and I'm watching Deion give this pump up speech to his players at Colorado, talking about how he's going to get them paid because he's already talked to the boosters, how he's going to transform them into, you know, men that are going to kick ass and this and the other. I'm like, sign me up. Sign my ass up right now. Let me go play for Deion. I'm just feeling like Hugh Freeze doesn't bring that kind of, not saying he's a bad coach. I'm just saying he doesn't bring that I said yesterday, the it factor that primetime does.
I do love a good, like a question that is maybe a bit unfairly set up, but it kind of reinforces your point. Like, yes, if you ask me who I would rather go have lunch with between Deion and Hugh Freeze, the answer is Deion 1,000 times out of 1,000. Like, it may not make him the better coach, but absolutely anybody on planet Earth would rather go eat lunch with Deion Sanders than Hugh Freeze.
If you're writing a $10,000 check to a football program, would you rather write it to hand it to Deion Sanders or Hugh Freeze?
Exactly. There you go. Yes, everything's Deion. Deion always wins in this conversation.
That's how you continue to kind of double down on the question. That's maybe a bit in I don't know if bad faith is the right term. Like, you could argue, well, I mean, what does that have to do with football, blah, blah, blah.
It's called a non sequitur argument.
Yeah, okay, thank you. Thank you. That's what I'm looking for. Thank you, Brumley. Yes, but I love a good non sequitur argument is a point, and that's one of the best I've ever heard. Because, yes, and a lot of it being a head coach, are going out to those lunches and shaking hands and creating belief. And so I look, Deion's here's my deal. From a hype standpoint and a PR standpoint, absolutely Auburn screwed it up going Hugh Freeze over Deion Sanders, because I mean, Auburn, like we talked about the other day, literally had to hire a PR firm, simply because they knew they were going to hire Freeze. The preemptive hiring of a PR firm is a red flag for a hiring process, you could say. If it was Deion, it would have just been all glitz, glamour, celebration, like you said, juice, energy. Now, I think in terms of if I'm an AD, and I'm thinking from a risk management standpoint, who do I think will have more success on the football field? It probably feels like I could make the argument that Deion's ceiling is higher. And Deion's resume, though short, is absolutely spectacular. Like, it is truly stellar, but there is no denying the weight of the Hugh Freeze football resume, which is good. He has been good everywhere he has been. Generally, if a coach wins every level of football, which he has done, high school, small college, big college, then that coach is going to continue to win, right? So I think with John Cohen, maybe went with like a higher floor type of hire here in a Hugh Freeze, who can guarantee, I think, at least stability and, like, you know, winning around 10 games a year or whatever for Auburn. But he also maybe missed some of the heights that Deion could potentially climb, as if you just look in the early resume, like I said, it could still all blow up. He's only had his son for his quarterback the entire time, right? Like we haven't seen him transition from environment, recruiting class to recruiting class. He just sold you all this idea of what it meant for him to be in the HBCU and then kind of dropped it pretty quickly to get to Colorado. And so, like, there's some red flags there as well. But so, yeah, I guess Hugh Freeze is a safer hire. He's going to be consistent. Obviously a better football resume. Deion would have been maybe the more risky, the more exciting hire, more potential to blow up in a bad way, but more potential also maybe to blow up in a really good way. Yeah, I would rather
I would rather have Deion.
Question to answer ever. Yeah,
I would rather have. If I'm a 5-star kid, I'm telling you, these kids are more receptive to the Deion personality and what Deion bringing than Hugh Freeze. Like at the end, of the,
I agree.
Like, I don't know. We'll find out. I am rooting for Deion. Like, I'm super excited about this whole thing. Another thing that I want to get your thoughts on, T-Bob, is yesterday there was a big, you know, I would say somewhat of a conflict with part of the stuff that he was saying to his team. Essentially, he looked at the roster, in my opinion, and said, go hit the transfer portal because I want guys that are competitors, that are hard workers, that are dedicated, blah, blah, blah. And I guess some of the kids afterwards literally took it as, and they texted some of their former coaches or coaches that were on the staff that are probably going to let go and said, did Deion just tell us to leave? And it's been kind of the big debate. Did he say, you need to get your ass in the portal? I took it as, and I'm fine with him saying this, hey, man, if you don't want to be here, I'm bringing in guys from my school that I know are dogs, he said, that are going to be grinding away. And I know they're going to work their tails off that want to be collegiate football players. And I'm going to find other guys, whether it's the high school ranks or in the portal, that want to be at Colorado, that want to put in the work, that want to win football games. And anyways, he didn't say this, but my thoughts, you were 1-11. So obviously you guys aren't very good. So any coach is going to come in there and try to revamp if he wants to win. So I was perfectly fine with him telling those kids to their face, if you don't want to be here, And if you don't want to work, there's the portal. Go.
JLab has something for everyone, with earbuds and headphones that are as versatile as you are. Perfect for calls, listening to podcasts, and working out. They are built for every single moment. JLab is proud to partner with powerhouse college athletics. UCLA, Duke, Gonzaga, Indiana, St. John's, TCU, Vanderbilt, Arkansas, Minnesota, San Diego State, and more. From lively tailgates to coaches' play calling and courtside rivalries to college athletics NIL deals, JLab joins the action and connects with 182 million plus college sports fans nationwide. They're excited to partner with 17 D1 college schools, showcasing their passion and loyalty of fans and athletes across the United States. Whether creating cutting-edge tech products or pursuing athletic greatness, being the best takes hard work and commitment. JLab is proud to partner with schools who are showcasing the hard work, perseverance, and even the championship celebrations across all college sports. Use code SNAPS25 for 25% off your order. Visit JLab.com to find your kind of tech.
Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. Black Buffalo products are intended for adults age 21 and older who are consumers of nicotine or tobacco. If you are an adult age 21 and older and use nicotine or tobacco, I want to tell you about an American-made success story in Black Buffalo's award-winning nicotine pouches. Black Buffalo's nicotine pouches are not owned by Big Tobacco. They're an independent company proudly built right here in the USA for 21 and over adult consumers. Black Buffalo was built by dippers with decades of smokeless tobacco use. They believed the market wanted tobacco alternative nicotine products that offered the best of both worlds. Bold flavor, full pouches. What are they made of? It's pretty simple. Cured edible green leaves, food grade ingredients, and pharmaceutical grade nicotine. Most importantly, there's no tobacco leaf or stem. All proudly made right here in the USA. So if you're 21 and older, consume nicotine or tobacco, and want to join the Black Buffalo herd, head over to blackbuffalo.com to learn more. You can order nicotine pouches online, and they ship directly to most states. Or check out the store locator to purchase pouches at thousands of retail locations around the country. Black Buffalo Tobacco Alternative. Bold flavor, full pouches.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by three-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game. King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think he could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think, he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on top of that.
I'm not guarding like that, see that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came to my room crying tears. I mean, he was in a culture shock. He's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college because it ain't it?
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's beginning to look a lot like BetMiss. Sign up for FanDuel. Use the promo code SNAPS. You'll get a 1K back. And free bets if you lose your no sweat first bet. That's right. If you sign up for the FanDuel Sportsbook app, promo code SNAPS, right now, you can bet up to $1,000. And if you lose, you'll get that money back in free bets. So look, I don't care if you like playing futures, spreads, money lines, you want to parlay multiple games, you want to do a little same game parlay, you want to go with player props, everything. So many exclusive bets and boosts are available on the FanDuel Sportsbook app. Remember, FanDuel is now live in Maryland. So Marylanders, this is your chance to get in on the action with the exact great offers, boosts, and everything I just talked about. Take advantage of that no sweat first bet up to $1,000 in free bets if you don't win. When you join FanDuel with promo code SNAPS.
Also, if you like college football, you should definitely listen to SNAPS.
I hate to feel like
I'm like the old man or the cool guy trying to be like, that's football, dude. Because if y'all listen to the show, I like to believe that you think that I'm not just generally falling into that stereotype, but like, come the fuck on, dude. Like, this is just for like, this is exactly what a new coach needs to say. And much worse has been said in the past as well. He like Aaron said, they're 1-11, dude. It's a clear rhetorical technique that he is using that is going to weed out the weak. If he tells you to transfer and you transfer, you're soft. You are always going to transfer. If he tells you to transfer and you don't, he's probably going to keep effing with you. Like, he's probably going to keep messing with you. He's going to be, I told you to leave. You're still here. I told you to leave. And the guys who stick around are the exact guys that he will eventually want to stick around. Yeah. Because those are the tough guys, the glue guys, the guys that make up the integrity and the character of a team. The guys who leave after that meeting or leave when the new conditioning comes in, it's way harder than they've done before or whatever. Like, yeah, those guys need to go because that's how you kind of got here in the first place. So, and it is kind of interesting maybe against the light of like a Matt Rhule where he shows up to those players. He's like, I came here to coach you. But we do have to remember there's also no one way to get this stuff done, right? Because Matt Rhule may say that publicly in the first meeting, but he ain't going to keep some guy who he thinks is soft and doing bad after spring. He's going to bring him aside privately and tell him, hey, look, we think you should hit the portal. So like Deion just being maybe a bit more upfront about it. It's a different style of leadership, but it ain't nothing like it is nothing that deserves criticism. It's just, I would rather the upfront, more real approach where it lets all know exactly where we stand in this thing. Like everybody wants that. I don't care what your job is. You want to know with your boss, where do I stand? And it allows everybody to make clear decisions about what needs to be done.
Well, also think too, as a player, like I want to know, like if I'm not a starter, if I'm a second or third string guy, like you said, I want to know where I stand. Like if you don't think that I can play here at Colorado, and I do feel like I can play collegiate football, whether it's in a, you know, a Power Five setting or a Group of Five setting, just tell me, like, don't waste my time. I don't want to waste your time. Deion obviously has his agenda and what he wants to do to build a roster the way he wants to. Obviously, he had success at Jackson State. I mean, yes, say what you want. It's not a Power Five job, but to win two championships in that league, I think lose only one game, that's pretty damn impressive. So he's not going to do that in year one, but he knows what he wants in order to build a football team. And for him to be honest up front with those guys and let them know what his vision is, and if they don't feel like they're a part of it, then that's what the transfer portal was made for. It is made for if you are not getting your shot and you feel like you deserve it and you want to go somewhere else, then you get one free go, kid. Go find another home. Ain't nothing wrong with it. We are over the bitching and moaning about how college football has changed and how these kids have too much power. This is why it was made. It was made to help you in situations like this. When you lose a head coach and your coach goes somewhere else or gets fired, where you're not sulking saying, oh, this sucks, I didn't commit to this coach. Well, good. Okay, fine. You didn't commit to Deion. You don't have to stay. You can go. Bye-bye. Go find a new home.
Straight up. No one's stopping you. There's a door. There's the door. Now, chances are, if I'm in Boulder, I ain't trying to leave. If I'm in Boulder, Deion, you're going to have to drag me out of there because it seems like that area lines up with a lot of my own interests and hobbies that I enjoy. I would love to live in Boulder, Colorado. I would just love to visit Colorado one day. I don't know that I ever really have. And I don't think I ever have as an adult. Never done Red Rocks. Never done any of that. Yeah. No, dude.
You know, Sharon I've watched and I were that. Looking to go do a little, we're going to do a little Red Rocks in Ooh. August, a little Mount Joy.
Okay. August 18th I don't know, Mount next Joy. Year.
Oh, good.
That was on your Spotify rap. Spotify.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, dude. Nice, man. Yeah, I would love. The only thing I've seen out of Red Rocks is I've watched that guy that just sprints down the steps. Like I've watched probably like 100 of his videos. It stresses me out every time. But sometimes he never falls. I don't know how. If he ever does fall, like he's gonna die almost immediately. I don't know how you could survive. All right. So it seems like we're in complete agreement then over Deion. Are we in a complete agreement that did Hooker? Because did Hendon Hooker get snubbed, not getting invited to New York, and Stequavius Bennett sneaking in?
the backcourt.
Because it's those two.
Like a thief in the night. Like Bilbo Baggins. Barrel ride. Like a tiny little hobbit.
I don't think so. I mean, listen, I'm probably the wrong person to ask because there's a Georgia helmet right behind me. So I would obviously love to get someone who's a little bit less biased towards the starting quarterback at their alma mater. I think Stetson definitely deserves to be there. You know, if anyone, you could make a case that Hennon deserves to be over there. CJ Stroud. You know, we've talked about this on the show before. Like, you're an Ohio State quarterback. We all know you're going to put stats up. You know, what impressive game have you? Like, you crapped the bed versus Michigan. You look god awful. You had he had his one Heisman moment. It was versus Michigan at home, and he played horrifically. Is that a word, horrifically? I think it's horrifically.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's a word. That's another word. You're good.
Okay, good. It didn't roll off the tongue as well as I wanted it to, so I was a little bit
cautious. Well as your, like, beating child comment from 20 minutes ago?
Yeah,
well, okay, to be clear, we were talking about beating
children. But T-Bob put that in my head, though. He put that in my head.
We did.
All right, anyways, back to topic. So if anyone, in my opinion, did not deserve to be there, I'm taking C.J. Stroud out and putting Hendon Hooker in above him as that number four guy.
Okay, so it's Hooker, it's Stroud. Did Bryce Young make it?
Caleb Williams.
Nope.
And Duggan, and Max Duggan.
Duggan.
Oh, and Max Duggan. Okay, I was about to say.
Three quarterbacks in the college football playoff, and then
I mean, here's Caleb. The problem, dude. Here's the problem. Who cares about the Heisman anymore? It's just a quarterback award. Like, I mean, I know, I guess where Devontae Smith won it like a couple years ago, but like last year, no Will Anderson, when his year was so like he was such a outlier compared to his peers. And then you look at this group of quarterbacks that's going to New York, like nobody's an outlier. Nobody feels like did anything truly special. So maybe now I'm just combining the old man takes of this just being a down year for the award, and I'm yelling about it only going to quarterbacks. But in a year where all of these quarterbacks feel interchangeable, why couldn't we have thrown like a Blake Corum, knowing that he got hurt, or like a Chase Brown or somebody in there? I don't know if I'm feeling the Heisman this year. I really don't give a damn about it.
There's two things that happened this year. One, there isn't that Heisman guy. I think Caleb is the best player in America, and I'll get back to that. And two, there isn't the elite football team this year either. It's just a weird year. Like, college football, it's been great. It's been entertaining. It's been, I think, more entertaining than ever, just because there isn't like this elite player and this elite football team. So every week has been, I would say, very, very intriguing and a lot of good storylines. But going back to Caleb, and I do think Caleb, right now the discussion would be over and should be over if he didn't put fuck Utah on his fingernails. Like, it would be done. Because I've talked to some Heisman voters this week, and that is their big hesitation. Like, I think everyone agrees, like, who's the best player in America?
If you tell Caleb me has done that him painting his nails is what keeps him from getting the Heisman, then you are truly breaking the award in my mind.
No. That's what I said, too.
We are getting to MLB gatekeeper levels of bullshit.
Let me break it down. I agree. Like, if I had a vote, I would pick Caleb 1. I think he's the best player in America. They're thought about the award, and obviously this is like 10 voters. This isn't, I don't know how many voters there are. I think there's too many anyways. Their reasoning is the Heisman is more than just being the best player in America. Like, yes, that's a big part of it, but you are representing the most prestigious, one of the most prestigious awards out there. And a guy that does that and puts that on his fingernails is not someone that we want representing this award. I'm with you, T-Bob. I'm just laying out the facts for you right now. That if Caleb loses by a small fraction come Saturday night, it's because of what he put on his fingernails.
Bro, that is some soft, holier than thou, again, MLB Hall of Fame voting writing BS right there. But the bottom line is, like, I don't know, man. The award is flawed because in football, it's a sport that is unlike any other, where the position of quarterback is like chess, it's like the queen. It's just worth more than every other piece on the board. And we've discovered that nowadays more than ever. It's like that position is becoming more and more of the engine that drives everything. And so if you don't make this a quarterback only, I don't know. I guess it just doesn't matter. You just continue, and every now and then somebody like Devontae Smith breaks through. It's just that nobody else is ever going to have a chance.
There was a good player, though.
But then
But then again, if you get rid of like, and also at the same time, then if you take the quarterbacks out and the other plays where they don't mean anything, and then you only care about the new quarterback award. Yeah, so it just is what it is. But yeah, I don't really, so I don't think that I can say that anybody got snubbed because I don't really care that anybody, like, the only person I feel bad for is Hooker, but I only feel bad because he got hurt. And so, like, this is even more salt in the wound on top of all the BS he's had to deal with. If they had taken care of
business.
I still
think he would have won, though. I don't think they would have won.
No, but he would have gone to New York if he hadn't gotten hurt, or if they had beaten South Carolina. And so that's just, like, more pain for him. But again, yeah, since he wouldn't have won, it's not like I feel like anybody's being done any great injustice. And a lot of times, again, quarterbacks are important. If you are the best, if you're the quarterback on the best team for 2 years running, you've got the natty ring. Like, of course you're
McCarron. It's like A.J. McCarron. A.J. was there our senior year. His stats were nowhere near probably deserving of going, but he was a guy that had been on a national championship team for two straight years and was well-respected by the college football community. And I don't remember who else was in there besides Jameis.
Did he have his chest tattoo at the time? Because Aaron?
Yes.
He had the beginning of it.
Sorry, we had the Jim McCarron's chest tattoo should be way more offensive than Cale Williams paying his nails.
That is so true. Bama boy. look, the bottom line is if you're the quarterback of a winning team, it matters. Even do shit for it, right? Look at Trent Dilfer in that Ravens team. He gets to be Super Bowl winning quarterback Trent Dilfer. Brad Johnson, same thing. My old man
Trent didn't even get brought back the next year. Dilfer,
yeah, I know.
First quarterback
they were like that.
Is head coach of UAB Trent Dilfer to you.
That's right. Yeah, that's right.
I got a good Trent Dilfer story for you one day. Trent doesn't really like me too much.
Oh, okay. I'm intrigued. Yeah. What did you screw up the Elite 11 or something?
I did actually screw up the Elite 11.
Wait, for real?
Yes, you want me to give you a quick. You want to give me a quick story of why Trent Dilfer doesn't like me?
Yeah.
All right. So when I went to the Elite 11 back in my day as a contestant, obviously it was an honors top 11 quarterbacks in America, and then we had college quarterbacks come in to work with us guys. Like I think we had Chase Daniel, I think we had Mark Sanchez, Stafford, I think was one of the counselors too. So there's like four or five current college quarterbacks that were there. Colt Brennan was there, quarterback at Hawaii. It's fun. It was fun. Like we would wake up, we would do, you know, quarterback competitions, drills. We would work with the older guys. And then the afternoons we'd like go to like Disney or we'd go to the beach and we'd go to dinner. And it was an award. It was like, you have been given this opportunity. We're going to work. We're going to have fun. We're going to learn from each other. But this is this is awesome. It's fun. And I have some of my best friends I went to that camp with. Fast forward, I get invited back as a counselor. This is my junior year. And I go and it has completely changed. Dilfer took over and he made it competitive. We're like, kids are there all day long. They are competing in 7-on-7 and 1-on-1s and scores and this and that. And you can get cut and sent home. So kids aren't there to make friends. They're not there to have fun. They're there to compete.
Damn.
I'm like, this
he
is
made it into like Hunger Games. Sports.
He made it into Hunger Games. Which I didn't like because I'm telling the kids like all day long, like, man, this is the summertime. This is the best time of your life. Have fun. Make friends with these guys. You're going to play against them in college. He didn't like that. And then going back to when I was a player in high school, the counselors would get a limo and get to go out on the town. So I remember I went up to him. I was like, hey, man, do we get to go like on the town? It was like me, EJ Manuel, and some other guys. And he's like, you want to have fun? This is competition. We're here to work. We're here to grind. I'm like, it's summertime. Ooh. I'm here to have some fun. So I said, screw that. So EJ and I and some of the other guys, we went out in the town and we stayed out all night. And like we missed like the 4 a.m. Navy wake-up call where they took the kids on the beach and did a Navy workout at 4 a.m. So he was all pissed at me that I wasn't taking it serious enough, that I wasn't dedicated to it. I'm like, it's summertime, Trent. Like, let's chill and have a little fun. Like, this isn't life or death. He's out there crying when he's cutting kids. Like, way too much drama. Way too much drama.
Yeah, why are you cutting kids, Trent? It's not that serious. Relax, dude.
It was way high too school serious. Crew.
Wait. So you, Johnny, Brum, this is breaking story. You, Johnny Manziel, the Manning camp before it was cool, right? Because do you remember that? So that was like a huge story for a while there where Johnny Manziel went to Manning camp, partied too hard. They had to meet with him. They sent him home. You Manziel'd before it was even a big story. Hell yeah, dude.
Yeah.
Screw you.
He
also didn't Manziel in New Orleans. He Manziel'd somewhere else.
The camp that Manziel went to in Thibodeau, but yeah, I guess it is only like an hour away from New Orleans.
Yeah, but the issue with the Thibodeau campus, I've been there, that is meant to get rowdy. Like, even the Mannings turn up on that one. Everyone's getting loose.
I've been to Roxas. In fact, I'm pretty sure I got like a great grandparent on my father's side that may have started Roxas like 100 years ago or something. Mm. I've had some nights there. My little brother went there. One of the best moments they ever had. Have you ever played pub golf, Aaron?
No.
So they created like an 18-hole course among all the bars and everything in the town. And how it worked was like one stroke, you'd buy the specialty drink of the bar. And then one stroke was, you start to chug. And if you put it down or went too long without finishing, that was going to be a stroke, right? So I'm working on a perfect score. I mean, just surf down every single drink. And we get to the last bar. Sure enough, knock it back, win the competition. It was my little brother, like 8 of his friends. They lifted me on their shoulders. We had our golf attire on. I took off my visor. I was saluting like the 10 people that were there at 9:30 p.m. as we were already entirely too drunk. But I've never been I've never had that before outside of the moment. I've never been carried off of the field of competition. And I got to say, it goes back to what we were talking about earlier. It's an incredible feeling. Like, I've never ridden the shoulders of other human beings. And even though it was just a stupid pub golf competition, it's a memory that will stick with me for the rest of my life. It was awesome. It was very fun.
Good time.
Did you ever get carried off, Aaron? Did you ever get carried off a football field in high school or anything?
Not that I remember. No.
Mm. LSU
just more on the field.
Yeah. After beating A&M that one time, was a weird night.
The goat.
Yeah. Sure. Of what? I don't know. All right. Aaron, are you scared of Ohio State?
All right. Well, this goes to the next topic. The Smith and Jigba skips the bowl game a little bit. I would be a little bit more concerned if he was playing. I'd be really pissed off if I was his teammate, though. Like, if you're healthy, and this isn't a bowl game, this is like our opportunity to win a national championship. And maybe our best player on the football team was the best receiver, one of the best receivers in the country last year, went off, obviously off in the Rose Bowl, had a lot of expectations heading into the season, is saying, I'm going to opt out and move on and get ready for the NFL draft. I'd be so ticked off if I'm an Ohio State football player now, and fan too. Like, once again, like, this isn't a bowl game. This is an opportunity to beat the defending national champions and go on to get probably most likely a rematch against your enemy, number one, Michigan, and then beat them and win a national championship. And you're saying, I'm okay. I'm just going to get ready for the NFL draft. So I don't know if it's because he still is banged up and maybe he isn't going to be healthy enough to play in this game. So he's just like, I'm just going to declare and get this over with now or what. But if you are healthy and you're skipping out on a chance to win a national championship, shame on you. That's all I got to say. Shame on you. I'm hoping that's not the case.
So it looks like we may have some inside sources in the chat. I'm going to put this with a heavy alleged on there. Zone 6 says, I had a class with him and he withdrew months ago. And that's right in the DWE saying, I don't think he was eligible. He stopped going to class. That is something that happens nowadays. Even outside of that, I agree with everything you said, Aaron. If I'm a teammate, anything like that, I'm freaking pissed because, like you said, I'm trying to beat Georgia, trying to win a championship. Like, we got back in the playoff. We have a chance to atone for our sins. We don't have to wait 365 days to make it right. Like, we can go make it right now. We need everybody that we can have. That said, if I'm Jackson Smith and Jigba, I'm out. Like, I'm out, dude. I know it sucks. I know it's frustrating. And you can say it's not a team guy move, and you're not entirely wrong. But I haven't played all year. I have not played all year. I need to get ready for the NFL. Coming back for a game where I could be potentially rusty, like, I have no – the opportunity to weigh hurt my draft stock versus helping it is immense. And then you consider, I can get a jump start in my competition, getting ready for the combine, which is different training than football training. Like, it sucks. It sucks. But I get why Jackson Smith and Jigba is out, and I probably would be as well.
I disagree. Like, yeah, combine's great in stats, but a guy of his caliber and he goes out there and shows he's healthy is not going to help or hurt his draft stock in a combine.
But what if he looks bad? Like, what if he's rusty because he hasn't played?
Well, I think they take that into account. They make an excuse like, hey, man, he hasn't played all year. He's a little bit rusty. Like, I don't think he hurts himself unless he literally physically hurts himself by going out there and playing in a football game. I think he only helps his draft stock by going out there and saying, yes, I am still that guy. I'm still that guy that you remember that went off at the Rose Bowl last year. And then if he has an average game, you can say, hey, I'm rusty. I'm going against the number one defense in the country. And now I'm just going to go get ready. I've proven that I'm healthy. And now I'm going to go kick some ass at the combine. As a competitor, it still pains me that a guy, I'm slowly warming up to the whole bowl game thing. I get it. Bowl games have been devalued greatly. That's fine. I understand it. This isn't your opportunity to go. You went to the University of Ohio State because you thought you can win a national championship, and it's right there for you. And you could literally put this team over the top. Imagine having both those guys trying to stop them, and you're saying, nah, I'm good. Like,
He's like, nah, y'all did great, man. Y'all made it to the playoff without me. Keep that, keep running. You got
keep
this.
It going,
just,
boys. Hey,
just keep it going.
I'll say this right now, too. If they win it all, I'm not giving him a ring. I ain't giving him a ring. He ain't getting a damn ring.
He probably – I get what you're saying. I get what you're saying.
No, he quit.
I would not want
he
him.
He quit on you.
I would not want him to get a ring. He probably gets a ring anyway, but I can understand not wanting him to get a ring if you do get it done. And look, and then if you do win, then honestly – he's the one that has to live with that, right? And no matter how much money you make in the NFL, if you missed out on being a real part of that natty team, like even if he gets a ring, he's not going to feel a part of that team. And so like if he misses out on that, that sucks because that's type of stuff where when he's old and successful and retired, he'll be thinking back, man, I had it all, but I would have I wonder if I just would have stuck around for those final two games. How would it have been? So look, I agree with you on everything you said. It's just that I've never been in the position of having someone sit down and say, we're going to give you, you're about to make millions of dollars. Like, let's focus in here and make the millions of dollars. And so I don't know how I would react in that situation. I could see where he's getting from Drodro, another source in the chat. Jack Best just entered the transfer portal. We'll see. Allegedly. Again, I don't know. Even though you could tell me anybody.
That is official. That like Jack Best announced.
Okay, cool. Okay. Dude, Aaron, I got to give you a shout out, man, because I do not know, like this was a ton of fun, but this is all relaxed and we're chilling, hanging out. This is like three days after the baby was born, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, 4 days maybe. I don't know how you called a television college football game like 2 days after having a newborn. That's some toughness right there, dude. That's why I believe you when you say all this, when you say all this shit about how you would still play, because you have actually proven it here very recently.
And luckily I still have one of these on my finger.
Boy, I know you had to be in some trouble. I cannot.
Gotta pay for them diapers, T-Bob. I get paid per game. So I miss a game.
That's true. Gotta
the
show
bank
up.
Account feels it a little bit. Gotta show up.
Oh man. Well, also I meant to call you out on this like 45 minutes ago. Rewind the pod if you're listening. Aaron mentioned the websites that are constantly up on his computer, and he threw in websites that are PG for no reason. A completely unnecessary.
Oh yeah, no
inclusion.
One brought up anything gross.
I was waiting.
It was not even like we just
like. Was he implying, Aaron? Did you think that we think that you just have porn open on your computer 24/7?
Yeah,
I don't expect that.
Like you have a 2-year-old walking around, you know.
Yeah,
much
but
less
also,
like just
you know,
constantly watching pornography.
For you,
I don't care,
Brom. For you, Brom, like you know, you don't know this, but like once your wife gives birth, you can't really do much for about 6 weeks. So.
This is true. No, and look, and I am not shaming the use of enjoying adult entertainment. I mean, go look at the Pornhub analytics they release every single year. Like, the amount of porn that we consume is unbelievable, but nobody ever talks about it.
If you have any content on constantly, like, you know, if you're just ready to go, that is what I'm shaming.
Yes, exactly. No, I just thought it was a very funny inclusion. Better PG. Like, okay. Nobody was, I don't think anybody was challenging that point, but okay, man.
Oh, God. It's like, hey, it goes y'all. ESPN on three, Pornhub.
Aaron did not mention her website, God. Light Dog, for research, unfortunately. All right, boys. Look, this was so much fun. Truly loved the being back. Didn't even realize how much I missed y'all. If you love these Snaps podcasts, go buy some merch. Promo code SNAPS20. Download the FanDuel Sportsbook app. Promo code SNAPS for great sign-up deals. Please, please, please help us continue to grow the pod. Subscribe it, rate it, review it. It's so much fun. Yeah, I kind of agree, Hamilton. A lot of related stuff going on there now, but that's a different conversation for a different day. Huge thank you to Aaron Murray holding down the fort while I was out. Our guy, Ryan Brumley, Paul Farrington, Pat Gunner, Danny Carton, is just everybody. And all y'all who hang out with us in the chat every day, we know, you know that we love you so much. YouTube.com/TheVolume is the YouTube channel if you ever want to come in here and hang out with us. Aaron, anything on the way out here? Got it all? Hit it all?
Adios, brother. Adios. See you tomorrow.
All right. We'll see you tomorrow for some brand new snaps, y'all.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Live Nation presents Concert Week. Now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 shows. That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists like 21 Savage, Alanis Morissette, Cage the Elephant, Celeste Barber, Dierks Bentley, Fade, Hootie and the Blowfish, Janet Jackson, Kidz Bop Kids, Meghan Trainor, Pistol Puma, Sarah McLachlan. Get tickets to more than 5,000 summer shows for just $25. Until now through May 14th. Visit LiveNation.com/Concert Week to learn more and plan your summer with Sean Paul, Sum 41, 30 Seconds to Mars, oh, and Two Door Cinema Club.
Good sleep should come naturally. And with the new Natural Hybrid mattress, it can. A collaboration between Lisa and West Elm, the Natural Hybrid is expertly crafted from natural latex, natural wool, and certified safe foams to elevate your sleep sanctuary and support a greener tomorrow. Plus, every purchase helps fuel Lisa's work with shelters and those in need. Don't put off a good night's sleep any longer. Get a Lisa mattress today for a sound sleep tonight. Visit lisa.com/iHeart. That's LEESA.com/iHeart.